Welcome to the Global Missions Inc. podcast. Today's episode features P.J. Matthew.
We'll just pray that tonight the Spirit of God will lead us by His Spirit even as we listen to the Word of God. Yes. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, which is very familiar to all of us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Very simple, but it has such a depth in that one little verse when Apostle Paul writes to Romans. I would like to explain first two concepts, the Spirit of God and the sons of God. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, which is the triune God. It's so easy to understand the personality of the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, but coming to Holy Spirit, we rarely endeavor into understanding the personality in the Trinity of God, or the triune nature of God. So, when we say the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is a person. Remember that. It is not a vague force emanating from somewhere at some place. It is real. It's a person like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thus, He is someone with whom we can have a personal relationship. As while Jesus was on earth, how the disciples and the others who had a personal relationship, who can go to Him, so also today, we can go in the person of the Holy Spirit and have that personal relationship. And someone whom we can pray, and we should pray. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is fully being divine. It is not human like the Father, Son. And the Holy Spirit is fully divine, to be accorded the same honor and respect that give to the Father and the Son. Or we should understand the Holy Spirit in the same way as we understand Father and the Son. It's appropriate to worship Him as we do Father and Son. He should not be thought of as in any sense inferior in a sense the Father and Son, although His role sometimes be subordinated to the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is one with the Father and the Son. His work is the Holy Spirit's work. Is the expression and execution of what three of them have planned together, or the triune God entity functions together. There is no confusion about it. There is no tension among their personalities and activities. God is not far off. In the Holy Spirit, the triune God comes close, so close as to actually enter into each believer. Praise God. Father God could not enter into your body or into your heart, neither Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a person on the earth as a human, lived, but he was lived at one place at one time. He could not enter, but Holy Spirit, on the other hand, enters into your heart and he resides in your heart. He is not leaving your heart. He is present in your heart. Just want to understand that.
Thanks,
glory to God. That's why Apostle Paul writes to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? It is in the present tense, not in the past, not in the future. The Spirit of God dwells in you.
Amen.
That is the first scripture I quoted. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, are the sons of God. Let me explain what the sons of God means. To the limited knowledge that I have, sons of God is not just for only males or men. It's inclusive for women as well. Remember, in the first century or over the time, it was all man's work in the Bible. The writers were men. So it was always a male-oriented thinking. Doesn't mean is excluding women. So you must understand when you say son of God, also daughter of God. It's an inclusive term that we should always understand. In the Word of God, we should always think in that way, people of God. Now, let me come to your topic. The topic tonight is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I told you what is Spirit of God and who are the sons of God or the daughters of God. Now, sons of God are those who have a special calling. Let me repeat that word. Have a special calling and who have made their election sure. Amen. Not everybody is in that stage. But this term, sons of God or daughters of God, applies to those who have made their calling sure and the election more definite in their life. That they are the people who are led by the Spirit of God. I hope that is very clear to all of us. Praise God. You know, I took a little time to understand myself before I tried to teach this concept to all of us. Praise God. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the Holy Spirit in the form of pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, which we all know. When the people of Israel, in their wilderness journey, God led them by the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, which typifies the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now, why did God lead the people for 40 years in the desert in that manner? God would have taken within 10 days to Kadesh Barnea all the way to straight into Canaan, which is today's Israel. But God had a plan to take them almost like the map of India, and they go from north to south and go straight north and then go to the plain of Jordan and cross Jordan and then come to Canaan all the way. That is the plan of God. But God had a plan in this walk, in this journey, giving them the pillar of light and the pillar of fire. So also, people of God, in our journey today, God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead us in our journey. We are not alone. The Holy Spirit, every step we take, tells you, my son, this is the way. My daughter, this is the way. If you are willing to listen and obey. That is the key we should understand. Now, I just want to read Exodus chapter, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23. I just love the way that has been written. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. I'm going to read this from 15 through 23. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, which is the tabernacle, the tent, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. The same cloud, how it changes from cloud to fire at night. This is important here, verse 17. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Look at the direction, the leading of the people through the cloud. Whenever the cloud lifted, the people started the journey, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. That is something. They strictly obeyed the direction of the moving of the cloud. As long as the cloud hovered upon the tabernacle, people did not move. This is an example for us to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 20, sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. I just want to let you know this. This is not an easy thing. The tabernacle has so many attachments, poles and the tent and all kinds of things together. So they should be always ready to take it off, and they should be ready to carry and walk under the cloud until the cloud stops. Amen. I hope you understand. It is that there is a God has organized who should take what, who should carry what. All those things are there, and each one, as long as the cloud remained over them, they were resting. But when the clouds are moving, they took out the camp and everything, and they followed the camp, followed the cloud. Remember, people, the example for us in our spiritual journey, how we should be prepared to follow the cloud or the Holy Spirit. I don't think anybody objected it. Oh, it's a nice place, you know, where they found that, I don't know how many fountains and dates and everything, and I forgot that particular text, but when the cloud moved, they had to leave their comfort zone, and they have to go. And nobody argued, Moses, I would like to stay a little more because it's nice. Water is there. Dates are here. We could be comfortably, we can stay here. But no, when the cloud moved, they had to move. That is the order of God. People of God, even today, in the 21st century, if you are led by the Spirit, you are under order by the Holy Spirit. May God help us in this, to obey the moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. This is the rule. This is the rule that God had given to them. Whether it may be a midday, maybe in the evening, maybe early morning, when the cloud lifted, you have to leave. You have to break the camp no matter what. It's pretty challenging. People in a spiritual journey as they progress each day, this is how our Christian life goes on. Again, those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons, I'm just adding this word, daughters of God. Praise God. Praise God. 22. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain to camp and not to set out, but when it lifted, they would set out. Praise God. Verse 23, at the Lord's command, they encamped. At the Lord's command, they set out. What a wonderful rule, right? At the Lord's command, which is the moving of the cloud. People set out. At the Lord's command, they stayed. Praise God. Everything, they obeyed the Lord's order. They did not disobey. They did not question. They did not doubt. Oh, why today? Why can't be tomorrow? Why can't be next month? Why can't be next year? No. When God, this is the order of God. They understood it. And they heard it. Not only heard it, they obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. That is from the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit led the people of God. Glory to God. Now into the New Testament, how the Holy Spirit still leads us. And how in the first century, literally, we are reading in the Bible how the Holy Spirit led the early apostles, early believers, day after day, according to his plan and purpose. I would like to read from Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, look at the preparation for the leading of the Holy Spirit. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them." The Holy Spirit not only calls men, also women, and sends them forth into definite areas of work, if I may say, definite areas of ministry, but he also guides in the details of daily life and service as to where to go and where not to go. and what to do and what not to do. Have you ever experienced that? All of a sudden you get a feeling not to do it, not to go. That is nothing but the Holy Spirit inspiring the people of God. And we should listen. When you're definite about the leading of the Holy Spirit, no questions asked. But it has to be definite. You have to be, look at the preparation as we read there. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said what to be done. Set apart Barnabas and Apostle Paul for the ministry. If you read that chapter, you will know. This is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. Waiting on the Holy Spirit for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then obey what the Holy Spirit says to you. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. And again, Acts chapter 26, 29, that is very interesting to me, how Apostle Peter realized something which he did not know. He always thought that he was an apostle to the Jews. He never considered Gentiles to be worthy of salvation. He never thought Gentiles would be filled by the Holy Spirit. But God, in His time, through the Holy Spirit, indicated and told Paul three times what has to be done. Acts chapter 10, verses 12, this is the vision Apostle Peter had. There's a great vision revealing something which Apostle Peter never had grasped. Did you know, when you don't know things like what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, seek the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit will definitely answer you what to do and what not to do, where to go, where not to go. That's a powerful thing. No intellectual can guide you in that way. No logic can guide you in that way. But Holy Spirit is a powerful indicator of your destiny in life. Let us try to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To know exactly what to do. Glory to God. Now here, let me read this. Acts chapter 10, verse 12, 11. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It's a vision. In a trance he saw that. You most of you know this. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, a strange instruction. A strange instruction. Get up, Peter. Kill and eat. Yes, sometimes Holy Spirit gives you direction which you don't like. How many of you experienced that?
Yeah.
I wish, amen. Why me, Lord? Why can't somebody else do this? That's what happened to Peter, being a perfect Jew who had practiced all the Jewish laws and everything. And here, Lord is asking him to kill the forbidden animals or creatures like reptiles and all kinds of things. For Peter, it was abominable, detestable. And you read further. This happened three times. Three times the Holy Spirit reminded, you should do this. Praise God. You know how many times Holy Spirit tried to persist, tried to press, tried to persuade you, but yet you don't want to do that. Because it is not in a comfort zone. Or you don't know how to do that. Praise God. But I want to tell you something. When God says something through the Holy Spirit, do it no matter what.
Amen.
Let me repeat that. When the Holy Spirit directs you to do something, do it no matter what.
Amen.
And if it is genuinely from the Holy Spirit lead you to fruition, people of God. Let me read this. Hallelujah. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius, who was a centurion, Italian centurion, who was a Gentile, were Simon's house and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon was known as Peter was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Look at that. And eventually he goes there and finds Cornelius, and you know the scripture, and how at the house of Cornelius there was a revival meeting going on. At the house of a Gentile, it's forbidden for a Jew to be in fellowship with. When the plan of God begins to operate, all the traditions, legalism, religiosity will disappear. A new thing will begin to open. People, and we should be open to that too as well. You know, sometimes we can get into some sort of a rule, some sort of a rubric in our life. A slight disorder out of that, you feel, oh, something is wrong. No. As long as under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you're the right thing. And you know the result. And it is very interesting. And coming back to verse 44, as the revival meeting was going on in Cornelius' house, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, which are the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For the first time, they're witnessing that. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Praise God. For Peter, this is an utter astonishment. He has never seen it. People of God, when the Spirit of God is leading you, or when you are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the things that you have never seen, the things you have never grasped, the things you have understood becomes clearer.
Thank God.
The vision becomes more clearer. Your understanding becomes more clearer. I can explain to you whatever I can, but unless the Holy Spirit begins to minister to you, you will not understand a thing.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. This is about, I think this is a wonderful thing, how Apostle Peter realized this salvation, this spiritual thing that the Jews enjoy, it is not their exclusive right. It is not their own. It is God's. And it has to be given to others who want to obey, who desire, who seek it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened in Cornelius' house. Praise God. Mind you, Apostle Paul had a great respect for the Gentiles, who himself was a Jew, and his calling was for the Gentiles. And he had appealed to the brethren in Jerusalem, meet with all these apostles, and said, look, I have found something new. And you know the story in Galatians and Acts Apostles, you read how God used Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Praise God. I want to go to one more thing about that. Acts chapter, how to be led by the Spirit of God. The topic here, how to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm giving examples, the New Testament again, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 29. You know Philip. We read about that and the eunuch. Where did we have? Let me 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Even today that highway exists. From Jerusalem to Gaza, that highway still exists. Now the thing is, why should God or the Holy Spirit tell him to go to this highway, to Gaza, to the desert road? I mean, that is a completely deserted place. Even today, a deserted place. Just imagine back in those days. But when the Holy Spirit commanded to go, his spirit would not argue with it. His spirit agreed with the Spirit of God. People of God, this is a huge mystery which you should understand. The Spirit in us should always commune with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Soul struggles with it. And body helps the soul. But the Spirit in you, the Spirit of God in you, should be able to communicate with the Holy Spirit all the time.
Amen.
If I may say, there should be an uninterrupted conversation with the Holy Spirit in your personal life. Only then you will be able to be led by the Spirit. I hope you understand that, people of God. It is very, very important. Now here, that's why, now mind you, before the Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit came down in Jerusalem and sat on the heads of the people in tongues of fire, even the disciples, even the apostles, did not understand all about it. Okay? They were still following Judaism. Let me quickly read that to you. I know I'm going all over the place just to make you understand. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, another name for the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. All the truth. Praise the Lord. John 16, verse 12 and 13. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, The Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, it's interesting. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 9, don't you know, John chapter 4, verse 9, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say, you are just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I'm looking at the words. Can somebody help me that I say what the Father tells me to say? It's the same chapter, verse 10. Believe in me when I say what I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, at least. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit worked inconsistent with one another. What the Father had asked Son, Son said. And what the Son said, Holy Spirit is repeating that. And now I just want to let you know what is this exactly means. Verse 16, John 16, verse 12, he said to his disciples, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. You know what Jesus said that to them? Holy Spirit had not come to the earth yet. The disciples were still in Judaism, in temple worship, in sacrifices, and Jesus never told them not to do anything of that sort. He said, the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will tell you the whole truth, and then you'll be drawn to me more than what you are now. And then, in chapter 2 of the Acts, you see, when the Holy Spirit came, here, about 16 nations represented, and they began to speak in tongues, and then people commented, or maybe they're drunk. And that's the time when Apostle Peter stood among the 11 disciples, chapter 2, and where he says, men, what you are thinking is wrong. It is still the morning time. People don't get drunk in the morning. This is nothing but the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Now, what I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they became new people. They became refreshed. All the things Jesus had told them came into their mind. They began a new way, a new walk. That's exactly what I'm going to tell you here. Now, going back to Acts chapter 6, where Philip, chapter 8, Philip goes to the desert road, and the Holy Spirit told him, go to the desert road that goes down to from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, and he put a fish in charge of the treasury of Candace, who is the Ethiopian queen of the time. Yes, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and his way home was sitting in a chair reading the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand anything. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Isn't it something? He doesn't know who this person was, but he obeyed the Holy Spirit. Go to the chariot and stay near it. And you know what happened? And he shared He explained exactly, and he was baptized and so on. Now, when you obey the Holy Spirit, something significant happens. Something special happens, people of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you by obeying the Holy Spirit. Not obeying a person, but obeying the Holy Spirit of the triune God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In a similar way, how Apostle Paul was also led by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, where you have, this is something very important, where Apostle Paul was prevented from preaching in the province of Asia. That is something, isn't it? I mean, here is a man with all his enthusiasm, with all his motivation, going to Troas and all these places, and now he wants to go here to preach the word. But what does it say? Praise God. Verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit, preaching the word in the province of Asia. By the way, one thing I like in the Bible is everything, every place, every person referred to the Bible is still there. Phrygia and Galatia are in modern Turkey. It is not something, you know, imaginary world. Everything what we in the Bible, every place in the Bible still is there. Archaeological findings are proving that place was there. That place is here. And this place is definitely in modern Turkey. And Apostle Paul did a lot of traveling in Turkey, in Greece. These two countries, he was back and forth, back and forth. Andy and I were on a cruise to Greece, and we were there talking about how Apostle Paul traveled in this place. Now we have cruise and ship and nice comfortable journey. But back in those days, it was pretty difficult. Everything was difficult. And we were able to be there at Areopagus, where Apostle Paul was discussing with Epicureans and having the big discussion with philosophers. I was just trying to tell you, not because we went there, it became very emphatic to me. It is so real to me when I say those things, the place comes to my mind. I speak from experience, from observation. It is not something, a made-up story, people of God. The Bible, from page to page, it is real, it is true. It is relevant even today in the 21st century. Isn't it great? Glory to God. Glory. Okay, let me explain this now. Okay. When they came to the border of Asia, again in Turkey, they tried to enter Bithynia in Turkey, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Spirit of Jesus here is the Holy Spirit. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Christ is no longer in the earth as a man, but his presence is in the earth through his Spirit. Glory to God. His Spirit is in us, it is leading us, it is speaking to us, it is ministering to us, even today. It's guiding us, people of God. And they passed the Asia and went down Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. A man of Macedonia standing begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, this is how the Spirit of God works. If this one place is being deserted, another opening takes place in another place, people of God. Hallelujah. Isn't something? When one door is closed, God will open another door if you are leading by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Don't be disappointed when one door is closed.
Yep.
No. Another door will be opened for you if you are under the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
thank God, for the door is closed because it is God's leading. Praise God. We try to persist. Lord, don't close the door. This is human nature. But you know what? If it is the leading of the Holy Spirit, if that's where the Lord wants it to be, let the door be closed. Because God is going to open another door for you. Both in spiritual and in the natural people of God. Amen? Glory to God. Even Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Being the divine being on the earth, he surrendered himself to the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Luke's Gospel chapter 4. Quickly, I'll read that to you. Luke 4:1. Glory to God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan Valley, was led by the Spirit in the desert. Isn't it something? What a better place to go. When you're filled by the Holy Spirit, you are led to the desert. If you may think in a spiritual sense, sometimes you and I go through a spiritual isolation. You know what I mean by that? You're left kind of confused, light of all alone or something like that. But you know what? If it is the leading of the Holy Spirit, God is able to lift you from that situation. Apostle Paul, a great man of God, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think, where he saw a man lifted up in a third heaven, which is saying himself, and spoke in a tongue forbidden to men, who had seen visions and all kinds of things. And in the same chapter we read, three times I prayed because of an infirmity that he was going through in his body. Let's not discuss what infirmity was, but whatever, he was struggling. Three times he prayed to the Lord, Lord, deliver me. What is the reply of God? My grace is sufficient for thee.
Yeah, that's it.
That is something. Is it a good answer or a bad answer?
Good answer.
Good answer, right? But at the time when he received it, if I may say, Lord, why? I don't want to suffer like this. But if you understand the meaning of grace, it is not a mere unmerited favor, people of God. It is more than that.
Amen.
God in person is going to be with you in your trials.
Amen.
God in person be with you in making your decisions.
Amen.
God will be with you in person in whatever the circumstances you're going through. That is the grace of God.
Amen.
You may think, Lord, this is not a good sign, what I'm saying, but this is the good sign I am giving you, my people. Glory to God. And then, Apostle Paul is being also said, you know, let me read that instead of making any mistake. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, let me read that real quick. Oh, I love that word so much. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Why it was given to him? It was answered from 7, chapter 12, verse 7. to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelation that was given to me, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Remember, people of God, this is not something strange. This is not something exclusive to one person. Those led by the Spirit will also have this kind of a torment, as Apostle Paul had gone through. But he said to me, this is the key thing. He said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Those who are going through rough times in your life, ups and downs in your life, sickness, issues in your life, job issues, or whatever, I don't know what's going through. Don't say, I have no problem. Don't say that, because problem is waiting at the doorstep for you. But in that problem, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul, glory to God. Not in your strength, Paul. You have revelations, your visions. You're a man of God. True, everything is true. But you are still a man. You have the weaknesses. You have your failures. But in all of that, I will make you perfect. This is a strong point in our life. When we are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit, when we are willing to surrender to the Holy Spirit, when you are willing to strip the flesh away from us, the Holy Spirit takes control of you. And this grace begins to operate in you to make you perfect, not in a success, not in abilities, but in your weaknesses.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit, or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.